Yesterday we are talking about the practice of sati sampojana. As one activates mindfulness and goes to the practice of the four conditions of mindfulness, vipassana, in a balanced manner, we are said to be cultivating mindfulness and enlightenment factor, sati sampojana. Then one will be able to cultivate also the investigation of states of discrimination, namely the Mahavijaya Sambhojanga, the enlightenment factor of the investigation of states. That is, being able to discriminate between mind and body, that this is Nama, Nama Dhamma, this is Rupa Dhamma, the Sandhana mind and body, leading to the conditioned relations, and cultivating the true nature of the objects by stages, seeing the three universal interlocking characteristics, namely the impermanent nature, the unsatisfactoriness, and the selflessness. And especially when one comes to the stage of the knowledge of the fleeting momentary nature of experience, one's Dhamma Vijaya Sambhojanga, the enlightenment factor of the investigation of state, will become very strong and obvious. That is, seeing the true nature of the objects, the realities, in minute details, all being this thing, at that time there will be no delusion about the object noted, object to be noted. No lack of clarity about the object to be noted. All these will be overcome, and one will be undiluted and see things in a clear-cut manner, just like cutting with a sharp knife. Seeing the true nature of these objects, such as cultivating the inside knowledge, vipassana jnana. At this stage, one is sure to realize the path and fruition knowledge of the Noble Ones, and in the first path, then your energy will build up momentum, as we have discussed yesterday, from the stage of Aradha Avirya, sustained energy, to Prakaita Avirya, uplifting energy, and then to Parikovna Avirya, fulfilling energy. Then the mind will not shrink back, there will be no sluggishness, there will be no indolence. One will be able to overcome the latent tendencies of these departments, and one will be able to reach the opposite state, namely the Prakaita Virya, the energy, sustained energy, uplifting energy, fulfilling energy, and so on, and then one realizes the path and fruition knowledge of the Noble Ones. That is, one becomes enlightened. At that time, one's speaking will not be just minor, but it will become very strong, from Dobala to Kalava Piti, such as Ubega, uplifting energy. That is, your body is uplifted, appears to be uplifted, and the Karana Piti, the pervading or permeating type of rapture. So at this point, we came to the conclusion of our yesterday's talk. Today, we shall continue on this subject. As one is able to cultivate mindfulness at tea, Sambhojanga, mindfulness enlightenment factor, as one of the factors of the enlightenment factor, Bodhinyana, enlightenment. When it becomes fulfilled, one is able to experience a high level type of wholesomeness. In this way, one will gain the upper hand of unhappiness and dispassion, dispassionate feeling, or discontentment. Because one is realizing the Dhamma Rati, Dhamma Jnana. Before one comes to this stage, one has been thinking about enjoying the Kama Rati, sense of delight, but one has been used to it through all along our lifetimes. So at this stage, one may feel as though one becomes very lonely, and one seems to be missing something. And one be longing for his sense of delight, kama rati, because one has not fully realized or experienced the dhamma delight as yet. So in between, in the intervening period, there may be some dispassionate feeling, discontentment, unhappy feeling, known as arati. Such is one a sort of an impurity, defilement. Now, as one realizes or cultivates this dhammarati, dhamma delight, such as the rapture of feeling piti, as we have discussed, then the yogi would say that, oh, this is it, this is much better. So one will be able to understand the difference between kamarati and dhammarati. And hence, the Buddha has qualified this dhammarati. Buddha has said this verse, which means going into one goes into seclusion, such as coming to the meditation center like you all are doing, noting every arising object as saying, in accordance with the saying, guarding the mind with vigilant mindfulness of every arising, paying attention to the body and noting whatever arises at the moment of the arising. And as yogi cultivates mindfulness, he by being able to note every arising object, noting becomes is going on well, and also one is exerting energy, cultivating knowledge, especially the fleeting way of objects, all giving place to the new at this stage. Santachitasa, the mind becomes peaceful. That means the mind is not affected or shaken by undermining elements such as craving, aversion, or other defilements. And at this stage, one experiences the Balava Piti, strong form of rapturous feeling, so that one gains the upper hand of the sense delight, sense of pleasures, because one is experiencing the Dhamma Vritti, Dhamma Rama, Dhamma pleasure, so that the mind becomes tranquil, not affected, not shaken by these undermining elements. Why? Because one is behaving as a yogi, noting every arising object, cultivating the mind and insight. One becomes yogi, the real yogi, the devoted yogi. Such is the practice, the result of the practice, especially when one comes to the stage of Vyavyanyana, the fleeting momentary nature of experience, the whole giving place to the new. When this inside knowledge becomes very heightened, very strong, samadhamam vipassati, one is noting in the right way the objects as they arise and pass away, the whole giving place to the new. At this stage, one is bound to gain this kind of delight. Amanusivakihoti. That means the kind of delight which is beyond the reach of sensory pleasures which can be enjoyed by human endeavors. That is, as for human beings and devas, they think that their sensory pleasures are the best that they can get in their human or deva worlds. They hold this kamarati, sense of delight, in high esteem, so much so that they are immersed or sunk into this kind of pleasures. Now this kind of rati, kamarati, dhamma delight, excels manifold the sense of pleasures which you can get in the human and deva world. Hence this expression, amanusivati, the kind of delight which is beyond the reach of human endeavors, or human pleasures and deva pleasures. Especially at the stage of the fleeting momentary nature of experience, Vyavyanyana, where you are able to cultivate the mind and insight, cultivating knowledge, the mind also becomes fresh and good, well cultivated, and cultivating knowledge as well. Become satisfied with this. At this stage, kind of delight or pleasure that you are experiencing is known as unrelinquishable. It is given the epithet as being unrelinquishable. You don't want to relinquish with it, you don't want to let go this kind of pleasure. And this kind of pleasure is good in itself, in its own right, because it is arising with great force. And also, this kind of delight, Dhamma delight, is always fresh and ever new, never gets old. In the case of sense of pleasures, as you can experience in the world, in the ordinary world, they get very common, and you get bored with one sense of pleasure after another. You have to change these sense of pleasures. They have to be new all the time, one after another. Whereas in the case of Dhamma delight, you don't have to change it. There's no variety, but it is always new and fresh. That's why it is said that it is good in itself, without any need for changing. So at the same time, it is something which you don't want to let go, unrelinquishable. Such is Dhamma Rati, Dhamma Delight, or Dhamma Rama, or Dhamma Nandi. At this stage, yogi is able to realize the high level wholesome things, becomes very satisfied with his strong form of rapture, balava piti. And at this stage, one will overcome this unhappiness and dispassionate feeling, and there will be no such dispassion or unhappiness or loneliness at this stage, because one becomes delighted with the practice and one is enjoying the pleasures of the Dhamma, and one comes to see the flaws or the defects of sensual pleasures, which are dangerous, deadly and fatal. So Dhamma delight is just a reverse of that. It is safe, it is deadless. And especially when it comes to the stage of Uyavyajnana, as the one is noting every arising object, paying attention to the body, in the spirit of the Satipatthana, as one comes to the heightened scope, perspective of awareness, that is Sati Sambhojanga, one's enlightenment factor of Sati becomes heightened, then one is experiencing the Balava Piti, very strong form of rapture. So, seeing the ever arising object, mind body object, arising and passing away, all giving place to the new in a fleeting manner. So, at this stage, it is said that Labhati Piti Pamojam, one gains or realizes rapture and joy, seeing the fleeting momentary nature of experience, and this is qualified as Amrita, deadless. And in this way, the Buddha has qualified this kind of piti at this stage. Not that piti itself is deadless, but that with piti, one enjoys the Dhamma pleasure, one is bound to work towards the extinction of all defilement to the point of Nirvana, that is the stage of the Arahantship. And if one is able to realize at least the first pass, Sarabhana, then one will never fall into the lower realms. So this is a big gain. Hence, Sati has been qualified here as deathless. When one comes to this stage, bit of piti, which has this kind of quality, then one's mind and body will become peaceful and calm, free from the bondage of the unmining negative elements, especially those unmining elements such as craving, raga. One will not be affected by craving or aversion, or any other defilement such as pride, envy, avarice. one not, one's mind will not be shaken or moved by these undermining elements. Because one is free from such bondage. If one is not free, then one will be indulging in it. Now one is free at the stage of the experiencing of piti. One overcomes such undermining negative defilements. Because one's mind and body becomes peaceful and calm. This is the realizing of pasati, calmness both in mind and body, free from restlessness and remorse and skeptical doubt about events. Instead, one will come to the conclusion that this is correct, comes to affirmation and determination and resolution, and the mind becomes cool and peaceful, leading to the physical coolness and peacefulness. Such is the cultivation of heightened stage of pasati sambhojanga, the calmness, enlightenment factor. As one practices the seven enlightenment factors, this pasati, tranquility or calmness is just given as calmness or tranquility. In fact, there are many associated states which arise as a result of calmness. When the mind and body becomes calm, one becomes levitated mentally, physically, free of stress and tension. One becomes malleable, instead of being rough and coarse, and one will become proficient mentally and physically, kaminyata, given by the expression kaminyata. Such as when one is sitting for 1 hour, one will be going beyond 1 hour, 1.5 hour, 2 hours, and so on. And one will not know that time has taken, so much time has taken. In fact, one was sitting just for 1 hour, but it exceeds, the practice exceeds more than 1 hour. But it exceeds 1 hour. So that in this way the mind becomes proficient and strong, such as kaya kaminyata, citta kaminyata, physical proficiency, mental proficiency. And instead of previously you have to exert your energy purposely, now you don't have to do it purposely. You can do it casually. Even if you do it casually, the practice will go on, be able to cruise along leisurely. In the beginning, you are affected by unbearable sensations in the body. Now you are not at that stage. When you are feeling unbearable, you feel very dull and unhappy. Now you are very active and diligent and wakeful, leading to rectification of both mind and body. Previously, you might have done something wrong to undermine yourself and others, but now you become rectified physically and mentally, so that you will wish to make self-confession and confession to your teachers the wrongs that you have done previously and tender your apology. In this way, your mind becomes sincere, both physically and mentally. And that's why, although just pasati is mentioned as such, tranquility or calmness, in fact, the mind becomes adorned with other associated beautiful mental states. So that not only just pasati, but also other associated mental states which arise together with pasati also will become pure and beautiful. Such is how one purifies one's mind. So the Dhamma, the practice of Dhamma is purifying one's life.
Dhamma loves the entire.
But this kind of joy or happiness is not yet assured happiness as yet. This can still be affected and shaken by worldly things. It is not yet the real calmness. Only when you come to the stage, the high insight knowledge, state of insight knowledge, such as the Sankara Rupa Kalyana, knowledge of the equanimity towards all formation, then you will get the real kind of calmness. But even that calmness is still worldly, mundane, lokiya. One must reach the real cessation of mind and body. This path now we are practicing is leading towards the final, the ultimate cessation of mind and body. Then only this will be assured happiness or calmness.
So take the FPT, each other.
At this stage, one comes to realize that once the Dhamma pleasures excel manifold, the sensual pleasures, and to realize this kind of genuine pleasure, this is the method. We are walking along the right path. And then one must have belief, one must have faith that there is such a thing. If one does not know that there is such a kind of happiness, then one will not hold this in high esteem. There is such a thing as this kind of happiness, from permeating happiness, permeating rapture to tranquility, from tranquility to cessation, from cessation to genuine happiness. If one does not believe in it, then one will hold this sense of pleasures in high esteem, such as seeing good objects, favorable objects is enjoyable, hearing nice sweet music is enjoyable, and tasting good food is enjoyable, having good touch is enjoyable. All these things are the best that we can get in the world. So one will hold this in high esteem, thinking that they are assured kind of happiness. In fact, they are not. They don't give any guarantee, they don't give any assurance. And if one goes to them and talk about this mind and body, that there is no such thing except mind and body, then they will become depressed, saying that, oh, you are only talking about mind and body being impermanent, unsatisfactory and selfless. So the Buddha Dhamma is not good, and not something to be followed. They become afraid of it. It's tested. But for those who believe in this Buddha Dhamma, in the who have faith in the realities of mind and body, such as the discernment of the mind and body and the conditionality and the universal characteristics, then for them they will not view things as permanent. Because they know that things are impermanent, they will overcome the view of impermanence. And seeing the unsatisfactory nature, you overcome the view of unsatisfactoriness, overcome the view of satisfactoriness. Only when you think that they are satisfactory, you will become attached to them, you wish to enjoy them. Now you know that things are unsatisfactory, they are suffering, you won't become attached, you don't want to enjoy them. So, all these things are arising on their own, not at their will, at your will. They are a mere process, a mere phenomena rolling on. And in this way, when you come to realize that, one will overcome the wrong views. Especially when it comes to the knowledge of the objects, seeing them as old, giving place to the new, then one will overcome such high esteem in respect of the sensual pleasures. Saying to yourself that these sensual pleasures are just emptiness, nothing. At this stage, one will overcome the wrong views. And then, for some people, they think that by leaving their mind uncontrolled, having free will, they get what they want and they will enjoy it. But such kind of enjoyment has its untoward aftermath, namely impurities. They become impure, they become blemished, and they become despicable. In fact, this kind of, and in the case of controlling your mind, in the beginning you may be able to, you may have some problem or difficulty of controlling your mind, practicing the restraint of your faculties, but in the aftermath, as a result of the restraint of your senses, your mind becomes pure and unblemished day by day. And if you cultivate the cultivation of knowledge, especially at the stage of this Udiyavya Jnana, knowledge of the first arising and passing away of objects, you will come to say to yourself, alas, these are the realities. And you will overcome the esteem, the high esteem you have placed on the sensual pleasures previously. Coming to understand, this understanding will lead to faith and confidence. And this is the correct, you will have faith in the correctness of the matter, and also have faith in the Buddha who has preached, expounded the method, and also in those individuals who have practiced and realized happiness, real Dhamma happiness as a result of the practice. You will come to accept it, such as faith and confidence. Previously, your faith and confidence are not strong. Now, with experience, you're cultivating this experiential faith. Familiar with the practice of the Dipatthana, one always holds his sense of pleasures and high esteem, and then thinking that there's no other pleasure, no other enjoyment better than sensual pleasures. As for those who are practicing the Dipatthana in the correct manner, systematic manner, especially when one comes to this stage of inside knowledge, one will come to understand that this kind of pleasure, that is the mind pleasure itself, manifold, the sense of pleasures, coming to the conclusion, confirmation, that this method is correct. We shall continue tomorrow.